Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr. Long pause for Christine. And you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for people who play with needles. And the pause for Christine is because a couple weeks ago, you're hearing this now, and a couple weeks ago when we actually recorded it, Christine, you know, was fighting laryngitis to some degree, and it took a turn for the worse at the last minute. So she's not able to join us today, and we had three guests today, so to set that all up again was just not practical. So I'm solo today, which I never like doing, but we'll make it work. So the subject this week is the Needle Arts Mystery Retreat, which Christine and I talked about a couple weeks ago in a midweek show. And so we were able to get all four designer instructors to join us for a show. Really excited. So we have with us Pat Hartman. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Gary.
And Mary Knapp. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Gary.
All right. And you ladies are both in Ohio. Is that right? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Yes. In Ohio. Sitting next to each other in the living room, shoulder to armpit to whatever.
Right.
Yes. Okay. All right. Then we have Linda Reinmiller. Linda?
Hi.
Now, Linda, you were complaining before we started about temperatures. So where are you at?
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
It's 100 triple digits in Portland?
Ugh. It was last week.
Ugh. That ain't right. That ain't right.
Nope.
All right, so we have Ohio, Portland, and then also with us, we have Debbie Rowley. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Gary. How are you today?
Just super. Just super. Now, Debbie is from Arkansas, but just happens she's about 5 miles down the road from me today because she's babysitting for the grandson. So, now, how tired are you, Debbie?
I am pretty wiped out. I just have to admit, there is a reason why the young women have the babies.
That's right.
And not us or ladies.
And you got 4 days to go, so.
Yes.
You'll make it.
I hope so.
Yep. Yeah.
I keep telling your daughter-in-law when she calls that no one's jumped off the balcony yet, so we're doing good.
Key word, yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She doesn't laugh as much as I do when I say that, so I don't know. She might be a little concerned.
Yeah, keep her on the edge. That's good for her. That's good for her. Yep. All right, so our subject is the Needle Arts Mystery Retreat. Just a tremendous, unique concept for a gathering of stitching people. And it all happens because these four designers come together and create each year a unique design for the event. So let's just kind of start out here. Linda, give us an idea or tell us a little bit of the background. How did we get started doing this thing?
Well, the four of us were at another event, and we were all complaining because we
okay.
because we did not have enough venues for teaching what we love, which is counted canvas, as opposed to working on linen. And we got to joking around, and this was in 2004, we got to joking around, we should do our own event. And in January of 2005, we kind of jumped in with both feet, having absolutely no clue what we were doing. And we had our first event in Tulsa, Oklahoma in July of 2005.
So we got some age on this thing. That's great. I think I said in the show this is the 13th year. Is that the math right? Or yeah, something like that. So you just jumped in. Now that means that first year, a lot of preparation, eh, Linda?
It was kind of insanity. We chose a size, a shape. Each of us chose a color scheme, and we said design something. And then we each put it together and stitched all of the different areas in our own colors. And we I'm not sure. I don't remember how we got 11 brave people to show up at the retreat knowing absolutely no idea what they were going to stitch, because we didn't even have pre-work then. So they really came with no idea.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Mary, I was going to ask you, so attendance, so it was 11 the first time, and then did it build quickly, or how have we done?
Yeah, we had 11 the first year, and I think our top year was Oregon, and
yes,
I think there were 51 total signups and 49 at the show.
Yes.
It was amazing.
So 49 showed up in Portland, so that means Linda was doing some heavy recruiting.
Now, I don't know that Linda's necessarily doing heavy recruiting so much as a lot of our regulars were really interested in going to Portland. They had never been there before, and we had a lot of momentum going into that. We did have quite a few locals at that show, and people from the West Coast. So, you know, that was good.
Yeah, well, Portland would be a draw for me. That's one of my favorite cities. That Japanese garden there, I'll go there anytime to see that. So, yes.
Everybody seems to want to come to Portland.
Yes.
It is, I guess.
Yep, I would. I would in a heartbeat. So 49 showed up. That's your high point, and have we held pretty well in, 25, 30, 40 people?
Yeah, that's been about what it's been. A few, this year I think was the smallest since our first show, but everybody had a really wonderful time, and teaching somebody that's been there before is a lot easier than teaching new students sometimes.
Now that was something that was interesting to me when I went to the reveal this year, is that there's several people who have been to just about every one. Is that correct, Mary?
Yes, it is. We have one gal who's still coming that started with us the first year. That is amazing to me.
Now, okay.
And we have several that have made it 10 years
or more.
Do they get a little badge or something?
Well, we try to, anybody that has made 10 years, we give them the following year at half price.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. There's a little benefit there. So, Debbie, what's your guess as to how many who've attended, particularly those who've been 10 years or more, have actually completed every one of the projects?
Oh, well, now let me see. I've heard through the grapevine that one of our students who has attended a number of years hasn't finished a single one. Which,
oh, great. That's just great.
Which is why she didn't join us this year, because she hadn't finished a single one. But we do have probably 5 to 10 who have stitched every project.
Wow, that's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. Yeah.
You know, given the size of the project, I think it's awesome, because we have had some really huge, huge projects that were just difficult to find stretcher bars for because they were so big. And our biggest project was when we were in Hot Springs, and I think, weren't we on 36-inch stretcher bars?
Holy smokes.
Yeah, 36 by...
Oh, jeez.
And we decided, you know what, that's not a really good idea. We need to reduce the size a little bit, so we did. But, you know, these are some, you know, pretty large projects when you have areas that are designed, incorporated into one project. You just need a little, you know, you need some real estate to do that.
36-inch, wow, that's a beast.
Yeah, we had students that, you know, they would get a chair and rest one end of their stretcher bars on the table, the student table, and the other end on a chair, and they would kind of sit between it like they were sitting at It was really interesting.
And for those people, it's the only time they've used 36-inch stretcher bars ever.
It's yeah. the only time I have ever used 36-inch stretcher bars. I think I was one of the ones lobbying for a smaller size because we just can't do this. This is too big.
Yeah, well, that was one of the points that you made in the Mary, that you guys made in the reveal was that there had been requests for a little smaller size. So what was the size this year?
The design size was 12 inches square on 18 count canvas and 9 inches square on 24 count Congress cloth. So that put our stretcher bars at 18 inches for canvas and 15 inches for Congress cloth.
Okay. And now who did the one on Congress cloth?
Linda did.
Linda did that one. How did you get elected to stitch the Congress cloth one?
I volunteered because I prefer it to 18 count.
Oh, okay. All right. I want to do it on Congress, and I'm getting my way. Okay. All right. That's fine. That's fine.
Well, we try to accommodate each other. A couple of years ago when we were in Phoenix, the way that the design worked itself out, it was 5 equal pieces. And I said, would y'all mind if I stitched 5 separate pieces? And they said, okay. And then no one really had a clue what it was going to look like when it was finished. But I finished it into a 5-sided stand-up that was really beautiful. I thought it was really nice. And we offered to our students, you can have 5 separate pieces or 1 piece. But, you know, of course, it's a mystery, so they didn't know what it was going to look like. And so no one volunteered for the 5 separate pieces until after they saw the way I had finished it. And then several people wanted 5 separate pieces. But you know, by then it was a little late.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the design, because this is I get excited with this whole concept that you guys have. So, Pat, tell me about the colorways. How do you guys determine what each of the colorways? Is that just each of you just chooses what you want, or is there some meeting?
We each choose what we want. We usually pretty much know by this time what everybody's going to do for next year. Mary always does it on black canvas, so we always can count on that for hers. And other than that, we just say, hey, next year I'm going to do purple and pink on blue, or whatever it's going to be. And sometimes we change our minds midstream. Me mostly is the one that does that. But it just is our personal preference. And it's amazing how well they all come together.
Yeah, so Mary, you always do it on black?
Yes, sir, I do. I like to work on black. I think I like bright colors, and I think they pop on black.
Well, this year certainly do. There's no doubt about that. Now, working on black, do you get medical treatment for that?
No, actually, people think that you can't see it, but you can. I lay a white towel on the floor underneath my work, and you can; those holes just pop right out there. I don't even have to use a magnifying glass.
Okay.
And I work black Congress cloth sometimes too.
All right, there. Everybody who doesn't want to do black canvas, there you go. There's your tip: white towel on the floor, and they pop. The holes pop
they
right
sure
out.
Sure do.
Okay. Thank okay. You. So, all right. So,
and crazy. She always was.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just so we know where she stands. That's all we need.
Right.
So you decide I'm going to do these basic colors. Pat, help me out of here a little bit. And then is it you decide the colors, and then everybody announces that to each other, and then we go off and decide on what threads, or do we then start designing? How do we do this?
We decide on the threads at the retreat for the next year. We have a basic combination of threads. We use pearl cottons, we use floss, we use metallics, and we use braid, and we use rayon. And in addition to that, we each pick one specialty fiber for the next year to use, and the requirement is that each designer use each of those four fibers in their own section in their design so that there's a balance to it.
Okay. So, Debbie, I forgot you were telling me that we have this big meeting after the event. So that's what goes on at this event, is to plan out and make sure everybody's on board with what fibers we're using and knows what everybody's color is going to be.
Well, we don't always have our colors selected at this year's retreat for the next year. But we do work out, you know, we go over all of the evaluations because we want to find out what can we do better. We discuss ideas that we have that would make the retreat better for our students. We discuss things that have come up the past year and get those issues resolved. And if we know the threads that we want to use, we go ahead and tell, you know, they already know I have selected my colorway for next year already. And everybody, I showed them some samples of what I was doing. We all pick our thread. And so when we leave, we know which thread we need to incorporate into our design beyond our basics. And our basics are, we're limited to 9 cotton flosses, 4 number 8 pearl cottons, 2 or 3 number 12 pearl cottons. We use satin floss, or rayon floss, and then we can use up to 4 colors of a fine metallic braid, like a number 8 braid, and up to 4 colors of a number 4 metallic braid, and an overdyed. And we all select our own overdyed. So Mary and I usually are working with an overdyed silk. Linda has worked with overdyed cottons. I think Pat usually does an overdyed silk as well. But we're not, you know, there's a vast array of overdyeds that are available to us that we can use. And so that's our basic. And then our 4 specialty threads that we incorporate. And so we leave retreat knowing those are the threads I need to go get. And when we have our threads selected, we do a picture of the canvas with the threads that we've selected in our colorway laying on the canvas. And that's what we put up on the website so people can see our colorway.
Okay, so you have some base, because I've wondered that. How do you guys control yourselves? So you
we don't.
Well, we do, and you know, we try to keep the kit cost fairly reasonable. Before we instituted these limits on ourselves, some of the kit costs were getting way out of hand, just way out of hand, and. You know, somebody would use a specialty thread that would only be used in that section. And so it was not cost effective. And, yeah. And so that's one reason why we said, okay, each of us gets to select our own specialty thread that we want to use. And then all 4 of us have to use it so that it is cost effective to use that.
Okay. That makes some sense. So, all right. So then we know the colors. We have some control over the threads here. So Linda, then it was so neat to me to hear about that you each designed a quadrant. If I have this right, you each designed a quadrant of the overall design, and then you collaborated on the center. Do I have that right, Linda?
We collaborate on the 5th one. It's not always the center.
Oh, okay.
A couple times it's been a border, and a couple of times it's been like triangle shapes that are inserted either in the corners or in the edges of the section. So, but yes, we each design one section, and then the 5th section we collaborate on, and that's fun.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Okay, so Linda, take me through the process then. Do we have a coin flip to go see who goes first? I mean, is it a pass around pack where, all right, here, my section's done, it's your turn? or do each of you just have at your section? How does this go? How does this happen?
Well, we select a shape, and we number the sections. We say, okay, let's choose the center. The center is going to be the collaboration, and so we number the corners 1, 2, 3, 4. We throw those numbers, write them on a piece of paper, throw them in a hat, draw them out, and whatever number you get, that's the section that you design for. And then for the collaboration, we throw the numbers back in the hat, and we draw them out, and whoever gets one gets first crack at the collaboration area. And then two, they start designing it after they see what number one did, and by the time you get to the fourth one, they get whatever's left over. And we try to be nice. We try to say, okay, I'm not going to take up too much space, which is a challenge for a couple of us.
But, you know, sometimes I think it's easier to not be the first person.
Yeah.
Because sometimes seeing what somebody else has done gives you an idea of a shape that you're interested in, or, oh, I'm going to fill up this area over here, as opposed to a completely blank canvas where, oh my gosh, what am I going to do?
Well, see, that was the thing when Christine and I were talking about it, that was in my head, is it better to be first or better to be last? And then if you're second or third or fourth, and you have, because your design kind of has to tie into the previous one. So, I mean, I would think so. So, you know, and if somebody really had a good day designing, then you have to raise your bar. You know, what are some of the dynamics there, Debbie? That's got to be fun to do. I mean, that was the fun part from you guys' perspective, was it seems like there's a real design challenge for you guys just playing off of each other.
Well, there is. And, you know, when we each design our own section, we don't see the other people's section.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I design my section totally independently of everybody else, and then I mail them the instructions once it's finished. And when I receive the instructions from everybody else, I don't even open them to look at them until my part is designed and finished.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm. And they all just kind of work together. And then for the collaboration part, I think if one of us had a really burning desire to do a particular thing, that the others would say, okay, go for it, and we'll work around it. One year, for my part of the collaboration design, I think we were doing four different triangle sections or corners or something like that, and all I wanted to do was one stitch, and that's all I did. And it was a mistake pinwheel. And so I asked if I could do just this one stitch, and everybody said, sure, that's fine. And then they designed around it. So we try to accommodate each other's design sensibilities. Mary and Pat have similar design styles. Linda and I have similar design styles, and we all four just mesh really well.
Well, I have to say, looking at the designs, no question about that. Yeah, Mary, have you found yourself doing your part? Have you found yourself stuck? Writer's block?
Every once in a while, I will get that block, and I think, oh Lord, I'm never going to get this done. But 9 times out of 10, I'm the first one that gets the design finished.
That's true.
This year, it was Linda. Actually, I've got to tell a little secret here. I was done 2 weeks before Linda, but I made up my mind I wasn't going to be first this year.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
I enjoy it, but sometimes it gets to be really stressful at the end of the year when everything has to come together and I'm back working. And I only work part-time, but my part-time sometimes is 5 days a week, 9 to 10 hours a day for 3 months.
Oh.
So that gets kind of hectic because I'm too tired when I get home to stitch.
So Linda, have we had years where the design is all finished and everybody sees it and everybody goes, yuck, we need to adjust?
Never.
We had 1 year where Debbie trashed her whole design because she hated it. I don't remember which year it was, but she texted us and said, I hate what I did. I'm starting over. And this was like in, I don't know, February or March.
Yeah, it was way late. And it was the year we were in Portland. And I just didn't like what I had done. It wasn't working. That I think is one of the only designs I've ever just completely scrapped and said, no, I'm not doing this. And as it turned out, what I wound up with, I had several students tell me they didn't like it.
They didn't like the revision?
No, they didn't like what I did. And, you know, that's fine. Not everybody is going to like every design. That was the year that Linda had her Phoenix that she loved. And so she was at the top of the area and I was at the bottom. And so hers was Phoenix Rising. Can't remember the exact name of her design, but
I think that was it.
And mine was the Ashes of the Phoenix. And that was the one time that I had already seen everybody else's design. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do the Ashes of the Phoenix. And so that's what I did.
And I loved it.
Well, I enjoyed it too. I mean, I was trying to get up off the canvas and do things that were a little bit more dimensional. So we had some detached buttonhole and I had some tulle that we manipulated into shapes and stitched over. And, but you know, there were a lot of people that they just didn't like it. And that's fine.
Not everybody can like everything every time. We all have that.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, at the reveal, I forget who it was kind of leading the guessing game for whose section, who had designed each section. But, Mary, you each have your own styles, so the people who've been there multiple years can pretty much guess who did what section?
9 times out of 10, they get it wrong.
Oh, okay.
And okay. They've been coming a long time.
Well, that says something right there. It says you guys aren't stuck in some rut. You're switching around all the time. That's great.
Well, the year that when we were in Dallas, that's the one that's going to be our cyber class. Everybody was totally amazed at what I put on my canvas because I went way out of my comfort zone and I did freestyle.
It was awesome.
It was beautiful. I absolutely loved it.
Great.
I sweat blood over that one, and it's my favorite piece.
Yeah.
You know, that's something I'm picking up here, because I had in my head that for something like this, that each of you would kind of just stay safely within your own little comfort zones just to get it done so it'd be a nice design. So you guys really test yourselves then.
We have to. Don't you guys agree? We actually have to. Yes. We have these students coming back year after year. They want to see something different.
And we have some really advanced stitchers who come back year after year, and we need to challenge them as well. We always have, you know, beginner stitchers who have just barely started doing counting canvas. And so, you know, it's a wide range of abilities that we're needing to accommodate. And I like to challenge myself with this particular project every year, because sometimes it's not entirely practical to do a whole standalone piece that I'm going to try to sell to somebody, but it works out really well to do it for the mystery retreat. And so, I kind of view it as a opportunity to be more inventive.
And if we don't, we have students who go, where's the wow, or where's the diabolical part, or, you know, what happened here? I mean, but they call us on it, the ones that have been there a while. If we don't push it, they'll call us on it.
Yeah, I had a sense just in that short time I was with you guys that it's in some ways become almost a little club of people, that the feedback goes back and forth, and you've reached a level of honesty between students and designers over things, which I thought was pretty exciting.
It becomes like a reunion. You see these people once a year, and it's just so much fun to catch up with them and to see what they've done. over the past year, and it's just, we have a wonderful time.
But we also really like having new students as well, because we just fold them into the family.
Absolutely.
So Linda, wondering, over the years, has there developed some kind of internal competition between the four of you to maybe come up with the best section each year, or does that just not apply?
It doesn't apply with me. What applies, the only thing that applies with me is I'll do what I feel like doing on mine, and I am super anxious to see everybody else's design and to be amazed at how it all works together, even though we have four design styles. It's, I don't know why it blows my mind every year, but it does. I love it.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a competition between us. I love to see what the others have done, and we usually, all of us at one time or other, have created our own stitches to fill a section, so they're not just stitches we pull out of a book. We do create some.
So attendees are getting something really new in terms of stitches and design then.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, for my part, I don't view it as a competition. You know, we don't go around and ask the students, did you like my section best? I mean, because really that's not our goal, and I don't think any of us are motivated that way. Our design to be cohesive. We want it to work well together. We want it to be interesting. We want our students to be challenged. And I always love seeing what the other designers have done. Pat did a stitch this year that when I saw it, I was like, dang, I wish I'd thought of that.
Yep.
Sorry, I got it first.
Don't be shocked and dismayed if it shows up in one of my designs, because I liked it that much.
Hey, it's out there. It's fair game.
Well, see, that's what I picked up in this whole thing, was that basically you guys all benefit. It isn't just the students, but you guys benefit too from this project.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know the names of stitches, because I invent most of mine. So when I do a stitch and then Debbie goes, Linda, this is actually a stitch, and gives the name to it, I'm going, oh, yay! And I go back and change my instructions to give it the real name. So I definitely benefit from the collaboration.
But, you know, Linda, you wouldn't have to do that, because there might be four or five different names for the same stitch.
I know, and there have been some that I've created and, you know, it's like, oh, okay, this has this name and this name and this name. And I'll go, yeah, I'll stick with the one I have. But when Debbie says, Linda, this is in this case, it was the fishbone stitch, I'm like, ooh, it's a real stitch. I can put a name on it.
Okay, the other thing that I've wondered about in this is when you go, each of you goes to stitch the entire project in your colorway, and that then becomes the proofreading stage. So what's that like? Is that do we find that we have to do a lot of correcting, Debbie, or does it really come out pretty smooth every year?
Well, we try to give each other feedback, because if I have trouble stitching something in Linda's section, chances are some of the students are going to have trouble as well. And so we try to give each other feedback so that our students don't encounter difficulties when they are stitching, you know, and we catch things like the count was wrong, or the master chart wasn't charted this way. It was a different size on the master chart from your diagram, this kind of thing. And so having other sets of eyes look at our stuff and give feedback for how to make it better for the students, I think benefits us. I know that I have changed some of the way that I write my instructions as a result of the mystery retreat. And, you know, so I'm sure that my students in my other classes are benefiting from it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
For all of us.
We also. And I was totally amazed that a couple of our stitchers that come almost every year stopped me one time and said, Mary, I am so excited to tell you that you have really improved.
Well,
my pattern style.
Yeah, Mary's designs have always been beautiful and lovely. But she doesn't have the same, you know, Lynn and I are both writers, and so we're a lot more wordy.
And it takes too many pages to be that wordy. I just put my design down and print it, and honey, if you need an answer, ask me. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So how do the instructions get put together, each of you separately, or is there?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Separately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We all have our own approach to writing instructions, and we have not changed that. Each of us has maintained our own approach. And when I send out my instructions to the other three teachers, then that's where they have the opportunity to correct things that I got wrong.
Okay. And we all do.
Yeah.
We all get something wrong, and no matter, all four of us look at it all, and we think we've got it all right, and the students invariably will find a mistake on every single one of us somewhere.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen no matter what you do. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Okay, Linda, was there a year where the design was just too much for students?
2008 in Hot Springs. It was a beautiful design, but it was so huge. I think that probably more than any of the others is the one that people don't finish. Because it was gigantic. As far as difficulty, no. I've not heard from anybody. I've heard some people say, well, I didn't like this part of your design, so I changed it. We have one gal who, I don't know if she's ever stitched the design the way we did it as far as shape. And we tell them, while you're here, we do ask that you practice the stitch that we give you. But if you want to change it when you go home, we don't care. It's your kit. We don't want them back. Take them with you. Make it your own and come back and show us what you did. We're not uber proprietary about that.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that one lady behind her back here about where she basically has never stitched the thing the way it was designed. She changes it every time. Is that right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And we always
inside out, upside down.
I will say this. I've talked to her, and she said the last 2 years she has done them exactly as we had presented them, only in her own color.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, but I thought that spoke well to the approach from you four to the design and the class, in that someone who has been there regularly would feel quite comfortable in just doing it the way she wants to and learn from you guys, but really not feel confined to the way the design is. I thought that spoke well of the atmosphere of the class.
We love to inspire creativity in our stitchers. We never discourage them from changing whatever they want to within the pattern. We just tell them we want to see it when you're done.
Yeah.
Now, all right, talk about next year. So you did the colors and you're all working on your designs. What are the deadlines? You must have to finish this thing up pretty early in the spring of next year, because July in San Diego is when the next event is, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So what?
Well, see, now there's a thing about deadlines. We try really hard to meet our deadlines, but life interferes. And sometimes we, you know, I was having some difficulty this year and I blew right past every deadline, didn't meet them at all. And I'm going to try to do better this year. And in fact, I've already started designing my part of the piece for next year. I've already started it.
Well, I want you all to know that when we had our meeting, we set no deadlines this year.
Yep.
I was us really excited.
But, you know, that doesn't mean that we can go clear up until May with nothing to give to the
other
people.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I got a sense this could get ugly. Yep.
Supposedly, we try to have our designs done by the end of this year, but in reality, we're probably talking March.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And they get them out to each other sometime in February, late February.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes not.
Sometimes it's much later than that. But, you know, especially for designing the center or the collaborative part of the design, I hate to say center because it's not always the center.
The fifth element.
The fifth.
There you go. Yep.
There we go. The fifth element. We really have to be really conscientious about that so that the first person who's designing it doesn't sit on it, and then the others just have to scurry around and try to get it done. And I'm afraid I was supposed to go first last year, and I just couldn't get to it. And Mary came, I tagged out, and Mary tagged in, and she took over. And then I was able to design my part of it and send it to the other teachers. So, you know, we try to be conscientious about allowing each other enough time to design and stitch.
All right, Debbie, take me through. Let's pretend I'm considering going to San Diego next year. Take me through the experience. I'll show up on Wednesday. And what's that?
What do you mean pretend? We expect you there.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Okay. I'm going to go to San Diego in July next year. Let's try that. Okay. We'll try it that way.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So, well, so I show up on Wednesday, and Wednesday night we have the reveal, so I get to see what the design is that I'm going to work with for the next 2.5 days and right. ask questions. So then take me through the rest of the event. How does that all play out?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to take you back to the pre-work.
Oh, okay.
We open registration. We open registration on February the 1st for people who have never attended the Mystery Retreat. If you have attended the Mystery Retreat any year, you can start registering as early as January the 15th. So we take registrations from February 1st through May the 15th this year?
Yes.
Did we say May the 15th or May the 30th? Because
15th.
15th.
Okay, because we send out pre-work, and the pre-work is so that you can get the outline and an idea of what how it's divided up, so that when we're in class, we're not counting. Count over 310. Bring your up, that we can have you know markers that are a little bit better. So you would get your pre-work about a month in advance. Usually it's going to be 5 to 10 hours of work to get the pre-work done. And so now you're coming to the retreat because we've got to get all of that done first.
Okay.
Okay. So now you've showed up and we've done the reveal on Wednesday night. We have class. One of us will teach. When we have two classrooms, if we have enough people, we divide into two classrooms and two of us teach at once. One in one classroom, one in the other classroom. And so you would have class Thursday morning, usually from 9 to about noon. We don't start as early as they do at seminar because some of us, Debbie, have trouble getting up in the morning. So, and then we break for lunch, and then we have class again from 1:30 in the afternoon to about 4:30. And that will be Thursday and Friday that we do that. And each student will have all four teachers sometime during those 2 days. And the teachers rotate in and out. And so the students get to set up their nest and have everything the way that they like it and stay in the one room, and the teachers move around. And then on Saturday is when we teach our fifth element. And if we can work it out, we have everybody all in one big classroom, and then we each just take turns teaching. We each usually allow ourselves an hour, so we start earlier on Saturday. We try to be finished by 12:30, And some of us need an hour to teach our part of the fifth element. Some of us don't. And so we're usually through a little bit earlier than that, but we like for people to make their travel plans so that they're there at least until 12:30 so that they can have all of it. And then everybody's gone until the next year.
And so, Pat, when it comes to teaching, so you guys are giving basic instruction, but then wandering around answering questions and just having ongoing exchanges with the students then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's in my class anyway, I teach very casually, and I explain the stitch, and I draw it on the board, and then I wander around and make sure everybody's got it right and that they're happy and they're not having any problems.
So we're getting, I guess what I'm getting to is people who attend can really feel like they're going to get plenty of one-on-one time with each of you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we do have stitch-ins in the evening where they can bring their stitching, either the project or something else, and we're in there to help. We also have a shop visit that we do in every city.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that shop because I remember Debbie telling about somebody had airlines had done their usual thing, and she'd lost her pre-work and all of her stuff in her luggage, and you guys were able to get everything put together for her, and there were two ladies from the shop. What was the shop this year?
It was Tomorrow's Heirlooms, and it was Pam, I'm not going to get her last name right, and her daughter Kim.
Okay.
Just think of it, Pam and Kim.
But Tomorrow's Heirlooms, where are they at?
They are in Glen Ellen, suburb of Chicago, and they were actually physically the closest shop to us. Mm-hmm. Because it can be a challenge to transport that many people who don't have vehicles.
Yes.
To one place at one time. And so it all manages to work out. Everybody who wants to go to the shop manages to get there. And usually the shop maintains late hours for us. Some of them offer a discount. Some of them have little goodies for everybody. But, you know, we leave that up to the shop owner to do whatever they want. And we've always been hosted very well by all of the shops that we've visited.
Yeah, that's neat to have that kind of, to have a shop that you have for support, but also, I don't know a single stitcher who, goes to any event and doesn't want to go paw through a shop and find other stuff to buy, so.
And some of our people bring lists because they don't have the shop open. And so they show up with their list and try to fill as much stuff off of their list as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, the shop owner appreciates us coming.
Well, I'm sure of that.
The first year that we did a shop visit was when we were in Nashville, and the shop visit was to the Stitching Post in Nashville, and Pat Embry was the owner, and she sent me an email later and said that had not only made her month of July, it had made her entire summer.
Oh.
Because we spent so much money. I know how much money I spent in her shop. You multiply that times 30 and you get a good idea of they're happy to see us.
Well, that's great in itself because, yeah, I know a lot of shops the summer is just not the strong period. So
and we always send information out to our students letting them know all of the shops in the area with phone numbers, addresses, email addresses, and websites. And a lot of our students come in early so that they can go visit all of the other shops.
Mm. Okay.
And a couple of our students this year on the way back found a shop that we didn't even have on the list, and they were really excited because it was basically Halloween.
Oh,
That's great. Okay, so let's talk about next year because we're running out of time here. So let's talk about next year. Can we tell who's doing what colors next year? Are we able to reveal that, or do we have to keep that secret?
I don't know that we have to keep it secret. What do y'all think?
I don't care.
We announced it at retreat.
Yeah, I was telling people at retreat. Okay, so I'm doing something a little bit different this year. I've been experimenting with monochromatic designs. And so what I'm going to do for my colorway next year is I have three different colors of canvas. The student can choose either, it's a real pretty purple, about, I'd say maybe DMC 208-ish, a fuchsia, which is maybe DMC 602-ish, and a blue, probably DMC 798, I would say would be the closest colors. And then the threads that we're going to use are going to be all white with just a little touch of gray. Because canvas color is always a part of our design. We always have a lot of open canvas. And so it will be a challenge to me to get the textures right instead of relying on color. But I think it will be interesting, and I think it will be a really pretty option.
Okay, Pat, what are you doing?
I haven't a clue. Have not decided. Well,
thanks, Pat. Thanks a lot, Pat.
Sorry. I can't say I haven't decided. I've decided about four times and changed my mind each time. So I don't know. You'll have to wait until the colors are up on the website.
Okay, all right. Pat is the grab bag member of the group. Thanks, Pat.
Yes, I am.
All right, Mary, have you been able to decide?
And black, I am going to do Opal Essence black canvas, and that's as far as I am right now.
Okay, this is working out well for me. Thanks, ladies.
Well, Linda has her colors.
Linda, oh, good. Linda, save us, please.
Ever since we were in the Columbus area, I have done my colors in sets of three because we tend to do our shapes, and we'll do 3 years with the same basic shape. So this year I did red canvas with red, white, and blue. Next year I'm doing white canvas with red, white, and blue, and it's or Congress cloth, and it's actually the white with the sparkly in it. So, of course, that means the following year it'll be blue canvas with red, white, and blue. So I kind of cheat because I pick an overdyed, and then I pick three canvases that'll go with the overdyed, and then I can just use the same basic color scheme for 3 years. So I cheat.
That's all right. If you can get away with it, you know, that's okay.
I have so far. This is like the third time I've done this.
Okay.
So I've done it in...
Well, that's an interesting approach because you've set up some parameters. So in itself, that presents a challenge to you. How do I be creative within these basically the same parameters 3 years in a row?
You
put a little something on yourself there. That's good. Yeah.
Well, I like to push myself as hard as I can. So that's what it is.
Okay. All right, well, ladies, we'll wrap this up here. So for those who are interested, the website, of course, there'll be a link on the page for this podcast. And also I'll put pictures of all four colorways from this year so you can see what they did this year. But the website, needleartsmysteryretreat.com, and there'll be a link there. And so July in San Diego, we don't know the specific location, that's yet to come, and we don't know the dates, but it'll be July in San Diego. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Yeah. I get to do the hotel this year, and I had been home, I think, about 3 days since we were in Chicago, and I'm leaving again on Saturday. So it'll probably be a couple of weeks before I can really start pinning it down.
So this is your general way of saying I haven't gotten to it yet. Okay.
I have been busier than a cranberry merchant, so no.
Well, in the time of the year, it's always about the same time every year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the weekend after the 4th, but it's always we try to be the weekend after that, no later than about the third weekend in July. I think we're a little late this year, but usually we're like around the 15th, 16th, around in there.
Yeah, middle of the month.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks to all four of you. Really have enjoyed this. This is fun, and what a great event. I think it's a very creative and fun event, and apparently I'm going to be there next year. So
Thank you for having us.
All right. And with that, we'll end this episode of Fiber Talk, and I have every confidence that the next time we get together, Christine will be healthy and back with us. So thanks for listening.